And hello again on this Friday. I'm Bernie Miklas. Happy Valentine's Day to you all. Good to be here again with another Bernie Miklas Show on YouTube channel. As always, I'm going to continue to thank you for your help and your support, for reading what I write at scoopsnetwork.com, for listening to me on KMYX, and for supporting the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. By the way, you see this Baltimore Orioles cap. Don't get offended. Not that anybody would, but you know, first of all, there's two reasons. I'm waiting for a more of an old school Orioles cap to come in. And number two, why do I want an Orioles cap? Well, it's a team I grew up with. I've spent most of my life relative to Baltimore, spent more years in St. Louis. But the Baltimore-St. Louis connection has always been really interesting to me. And one of the reasons why I'm wearing the Orioles cap is because it's actually, I'm going to consider it part of my St. Louis Browns connection, because most of you know, but for maybe younger people who don't know, Baltimore only got the Orioles because the St. Louis Browns moved there in 1953, I believe, or right after that. And so I've always said, well, the trade didn't work out too well for St. Louis because the Brownies went to Baltimore. And then many years later, I came to St. Louis. So I was the player to be named later. Anyway, just wanted to have some fun at the top. I need to get busy here because I got a lot I want to talk about. And so after I did yesterday's video, it was still very pertinent and relevant, but still somewhat outdated in one way, because John Mozeliak came out and said, after I recorded and posted the video, came out and said, in effect, you know, our mindset is that Nolan Arenado is going to be our third baseman. And he did nothing to dispel that and follow up comments he made about it. So one of the things I was hearing before this, the likelihood or the possibility that Arenado would come back to the Cardinals, I kept hearing people say, well, that's going to be awkward. Boy, that's going to be awkward. I never really understood that, and I'll explain why. I'm happy to explain it. But yesterday, you know, there was a lot of that talk, you know, a lot of pearl clutching. Really, in my opinion, really silly narrative. Way too much pearl clutching. Oh, it's going to be so awkward. Oh, my gosh. He was almost traded. Oh, my goodness. Good grief. Listen, I have an office that's got like three closets, and they got all kinds of junk in there, mostly career mementos and such. But I also think that I have some worry beads in there somewhere. I'm not going to get the worry beads out from the box. I'm definitely going to keep them in the box because I'm not worried. The only thing awkward about this, in my opinion, are media people and fans who continue to push it. Oh, it's so awkward. It's just so awkward. What's everyone going to do? My friend Ben Hockman wrote a column about this in the Post-Dispatch. I really like his work. He's a great dude, and happy that he's a columnist for the Post-Dispatch. I just happen to disagree with him on this one. And you know what? I'm sure he disagrees with a lot of things I say and write. And that's just all part of the game. It's nothing personal. But I've been hearing this awkward stuff from a lot of places. And why would Arenado checking into Cardinal camp to do his job be awkward? I'm sorry. Is this middle school or something? Is it high school? Like, if Arenado sits down at a lunch table, like, the other Cardinals are going to get up and move. I just, come on now. This isn't the senior prom. It's not about the cool kids shunning a kid that used to be part of the cool kid gang. Let's all grow up. And that's what Mozeliak said. He said, well, it'll be awkward for a moment. And he said, for a moment. And that's all it is when he comes in. You know, it's kind of like, it'll be a little bit weird. If that's awkward, that's awkward. And it's totally harmless. Because as Mo said, it's a moment. And then he said, yeah, we're all grownups here. Yeah, exactly. That's the point. The Cardinals spring training in Jupiter is business, man. They're getting ready for the 2025 season. And Nolan Arenado, you know, we thought he'd be gone. We thought he came close to being gone. He didn't go. He's still here. He's going to be the Cardinals' third baseman. Maybe there's a chance they trade him during the season. Some team that's a contender breaks a leg. Well, I should say their third baseman breaks a leg, and maybe all of a sudden they're calling the Cardinals. I think as time goes on, you know, if there's some injuries at third base around Major League Baseball with some good teams, John Mozeliak won't have to call other teams. So they'll be calling him with regards to Arenado. But again, as Mo said, you know, we're all grown-ups here. Yeah, they're adults. They're grown-up professionals who are being financially rewarded for doing what they love to do. That applies to the players, front office executives, team owners. Listen, team owners and the players are part of an industry that generated a record $12.1 billion in revenue last season. Again, that was a record for Major League Baseball for a season. The Cardinals run a business, one that Forbes valued at an estimated $2.55 billion in May of 2024. It'll probably go up again when Forbes releases their franchise values later in the spring, probably in May again. And when you run a business, business decisions got to be made. The owners make business decisions. The players make business decisions. When they're eligible for free agency, for example, and they leave their current team to sign a larger contract elsewhere, or maybe they have a chance to go closer to home. They grew up in California or whatever. They want to be near family. Okay. They're a free agent. They can go what they want. It's part of the business. Baseball offices make the front offices, the John Mozeliaks and everybody else that has a job like his, they make business decisions all the time. Like, for example, Paul Goldschmidt with the Cardinals. And I'm not debating whether it's a right or wrong move, but they made a business decision. Goldie's a free agent. Cardinals were going to try to get younger. And it was just like, well, I think it's just time to move on. We really love this guy, but we have to move on. And Goldie ended up okay. He's with the Yankees. But that was a business decision. It wasn't anything personal. You know, you make business decisions not to extend a veteran player's contract, you know, and instead use the money for something else. Or sometimes you do extend a veteran's contract and then you say, what was I thinking? Okay, but enough about Miles Michaelis. Anyway, some of the decisions can be cold-hearted, but again, it's a business. Pro athletes and the management teams that employ them, the players, nobody signs a blood oath. They don't pledge an allegiance to the flag, the team flag, that is, to stay together forever and forever. They sign contracts. When the contracts expire, then everybody's got a decision to make. Both sides can choose to move in another direction. Or if a contract goes sour, the team may trade the player or try to trade the player anyway. I mean, the Dallas Mavericks traded a 25-year-old franchise player, Luka Doncic, to the Lakers. And Luka Doncic is probably one of the three best offensive players in the world. And he's only 25 years old. And he carried the Mavericks to the NBA Finals last year. And they trade him to the Lakers at age 25. Poof, he's gone. That's a business decision. Might turn out to be a terrible business decision, but it's a business decision. And we don't see many surprises of that magnitude, but you even have these crazy, surprising, shocking business decisions made. We just saw one in the NBA. Anything is possible. Arenado and the Cardinals, simply business and nothing more and nothing personal. No bad feelings. No one hates each other. Arenado agreed to be traded here by Colorado. He brought his existing 8-year, $260 million contract with him. Arenado was already two seasons into the deal. The Cardinals sweetened it by adding an extra year, 2027 season, at a salary of $15 million. As you know, Arenado's Colorado contract included a full no-trade clause. That protection was attached as he made the move to St. Louis. And St. Louis is where he wanted to be. Arenado gambled on the Cardinals being a perennial contender, almost every year postseason type of team, chance to win big in October on a regular basis. But you know what? There were no guarantees of that. There's, like we said, there's no guarantees of anything. The only thing guaranteed in baseball is that the money that's in a player's contract, unless he has a no-trade clause, and that's guaranteed too. Winning big, no guarantees. Remember something. At the time, Arenado signed off on that trade that sent him here before the 2021 season. The Cardinals had made the playoffs only once in the previous four full seasons. And that's the thing that should be distinguished. I exclude the 2020 pandemic season because it was really short. It was an abnormal year. It was only 60-game schedules. In fact, the Cardinals were only able to get 58 games in. But the postseason field was expanded to include 8 of the 15 teams in each league. So 16 of the 30 franchises were able to say they were a postseason team that year. So we can't measure 2020 compared to a full season, not measure it in a meaningful way. And so let's repeat that. When Arenado arrived here in 2021, St. Louis had competed in the playoffs just one time in a full season since the start of the 2016 campaign. He probably assumed that that would continue, and it actually did for a little bit. you know, that the winning way would continue because he associated the Cardinals with winning. I didn't relay that sentence properly. You know, he associated the Cardinals winning. He was thinking about all those times they were in the playoffs. But by the time he got here, they weren't in the playoffs as regularly as before, not even close. But they did make the playoffs in 2021 and 2022 with Arenado patrolling third base, Goldie anchoring first base. The Redbirds, however, went 0-3 in the postseason. They lost that single game wild card showdown to the Dodgers, even though their pitchers held the Dodgers to three runs. The Cardinals only scored one, and that was it. They lost that. The Cardinals then lost two straight games to get swept out of the 2022 National League wild card round by the Phillies. Now, were Arenado and Goldschmidt victims? No, I don't think they were victims. We hear this a lot. We talk about it a lot. Well, John Mozeliak should have done this. He should have put a better team around him. Should have done this. Didn't do that. Okay, fine. It's all fair game. But in the three losses, the Cardinals scored four runs in 27 innings. Goldschmidt and Arenado were obviously huge factors in the fate of this offense, the performance, good or bad. And that's why the Cardinals went out and got each of them, because they were two of the most prominent hitters in Major League Baseball. And the expectation is that, hey, it'll be great to have them in the postseason. And these two guys are really proud guys. They really care. They want to come through for their team. But the fact is, in the three playoff losses, when they were together, they combined to go 2-for-22 with seven strikeouts, and they were 0-for-9, combined 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Goldie and Arenado had a chance to step up and deliver impact, and they didn't deliver. There was plenty of blame to go around. Mozeliak could have put a stronger team around them, especially in 2021 with that starting rotation. I thought 2022 was different because the Cardinals won 93 games. There was one point in the season where they went 36-13 to basically clinch the division title. They had good pitching, especially after Montgomery and Quintana came in the trade deadline. They had a lineup with two cornerstones who finished first and third in the league MVP vote, and they had a fairy tale season from Albert Pujols. I'm just making the point that your team isn't going to win many postseason games when your two most important pieces of the offense bat 090 in your three games. That's the other thing. We talked about it earlier here. There are no guarantees, even if you do make the playoffs. Tony La Russa had a 105 win team in 2004. They went far, but they did not win the World Series. Next year, 2005, they won 100 games. This time they got kicked out by the Astros in the NLCS. Those teams were mighty. They were great, but they couldn't win a World Series. But La Russa's first World Series champion in St. Louis came with the 2006 Cardinals, a team that won 83 regular season games, same as the 2024 Cardinals. So you never know what's going to happen in October. But I do know what's going to happen when Arenado is going to check into camp. I'm sure his teammates are going to be really happy to see him. And you know why they're going to be really happy to see them? Because a lot of these guys are convinced they're going to be better than everyone expects. Brendan Donovan said, hey, we're going to shock the baseball world. And there's a lot of themes of that same type of variation on that same type of themes. And they're happy to see a Gold Glove winning third baseman who is on a Hall of Fame trajectory still be part of their team. And they also, these players also know he's been working really, really hard to improve his bat speed. You know, Derek Gould had a piece about this too, you know, in one of his pieces about how Arenado is doing a lot of interesting training to improve the explosiveness in his actions, which could speed up his bat. So Arenado is going to check in. His teammates are going to be happy to see him. But before they make sure he knows how delighted they are to see him, there'll be some good-natured zingers in that traditional baseball clubhouse kind of way. It's a constant. It can be merciless, but it's also harmless. And the Cardinals will probably have some laughs as they tease Arenado, and he will enjoy it and laugh, and then he'll probably get off a few zingers of his own. And then everyone's going to get to work. There's your awkwardness. No awkwardness. Everyone's going to get to work. The Cardinals are glad to have Arenado because he's going to help them win games, and they respect the career he's had very much. The players have no reason to resent Arenado, and they don't. They won't. Arenado has no reason to resent his teammates, and he doesn't. So where's the awkwardness? St. Louis players, like I said, see him as someone will help us surprise the world by winning more than everyone thinks. I wish them well on that. But the point is the players are determined to prove outsiders wrong. And then Arenado's going to be checking in. And he's determined not only to prove outsiders wrong about the St. Louis Cardinals, but also about him. You know, teams weren't exactly lining up and banging on, metaphorically speaking, banging on Mozeliak's door. Give us Arenado, whatever you want to do. He was kind of like the interest level in him among the really good teams was kind of like, you know, he would have gone to Boston, but that didn't happen. And, you know, I think he would have been a Red Sox had Alex Bregman not signed there. But the point is, man, you know, it's a bunch of hungry players in the clubhouse. I don't know where it's going to lead. But, you know, I don't think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, think, you know, Arenado is going to come in here and sulk and brood and, you know, act like he doesn't want to be there. He's going to be the exact opposite of that. This dude was burned, man. He was kind of embarrassed by the fact that some of the teams that he would have liked to have played for, they're like, no, thank you, you know. And it's kind of one of these things like, well, there's so many teams think he's done or he's like really, really, really on the far downside. That pride's going to kick in. I keep saying that. I'm sorry to be redundant, but that pride's going to kick in. So Arenado is going to be just as hungry, if not, and everyone's going to be hungry, but just maybe even hungrier than some of these other guys because he's soon to be 34 and people are counting him out in a way. And people were just like, no, thank you. We don't want him. So anyway, there are some repercussions or ramifications as we've talked about it. For example, is it awkward that Nolan Gorman won't be the third baseman this season as the Cardinals had originally intended? No, I don't see why it would be awkward. The Cardinals wanted to move him to his natural position, but only under the condition that they traded Nolan Arenado. Maybe Gorman will get some games there this season. But can we be honest here? I mean, can we just like put it out there and just straightforward talk? It's a secondary concern. Gorman is in the major leagues for one reason, to hit and to hit for tremendous power. And that's what everyone is going to be focusing on in 2025. No one's going to care if he hits 35 home runs and slugs close to 500 or more. You think anybody was going to give a dang about where he's playing in the field? No. This is his fourth major league season. He's facing a familiar challenge. A lot fewer strikeouts, cut way down on the strikeouts. The more consistency as a hitter, hit for a higher average, hit for a higher level of power. That's what matters most, and it's not even close. Gorman's glove is an accessory. His bat is essential, and that's where the focus will be. And listen, I know that some other players are going to get fewer at bats and a more limited opportunity in 2025 with Arenado coming back, because we all talked about that too. But let's not get carried away, man. It's the big leagues. There's competition all the time. There's all kinds of teams that have maybe too many guys to feed them the at bats that they want. And some of the younger hitters with the Cardinals who may be less important in 2025, they'll still get a chance along the way because they're young enough to get a chance along the way. And even those who might have to spend a little time in the minors, I'm sorry, that's just the way baseball works. I don't see the next Ichiro, Aaron Judge, or Bobby Witt Jr. in Cardinals camp among the young players. They all have a lot to prove, and they're still young enough to have the time and opportunity to prove it and build a career. So I'm just trying to look at this as kind of more of a big picture situation. I'd rather have... If they're not going to give Victor Scott, for example, a chance to compete for the center field job, then I'd rather have him in Memphis. I don't want him sitting on the bench up here. Things like that. Thomas Ejasio will get a turn at some point. He's still young enough. It's not like they pulled a rug out from under him. You know, he didn't exactly tear it up at Memphis last year. This is what I'm talking about. So but let's talk about another thing along the lines of awkwardness that maybe as it applies to Arenado and Cardinals ownership and management. Once again, I don't see what is awkward about this, other than, as Mo said, maybe for a moment. Number one, if Arenado has any cold feelings about Bill DeWitt Jr. or President of Baseball Operations Mozeliak, no one in the clubhouse cares. When it comes to player management relations and taking sides, players stick together. And that said, there's no reason in this case for anyone to take sides. The Cardinals didn't screw Arenado over, and he didn't screw them over. Again, it's a business. Arenado and Mozeliak agreed with the plan to have the Cardinals make inquiries to see what might be out there for him. 10-time Gold Glove winner, going into his 13th season. You know, the clock's ticking a little bit, as his agent said. Mozeliak made a PR mistake, if you look back on it, by overstating the likelihood of trading Arenado this winter, and he made a miscalculation, I think, by being overly dramatic about when he came out in the winter warm-up and said trading Arenado was priority number one, priority number two, priority number three. Well, then again, we in the media like it when team executives, players, owners, whatever, you know, say things like that. That's a great quote, for example. So, you know, this is the way it's gone for Mo in his final season. So even when he tries to give you a provocative answer that isn't bland, it ends up kind of coming back to him, right? It's, oh man, one of these years. But aside from his public speaking, Mo in this case is not the bad guy. He respected Arenado's wishes and he worked to find a match. An imminent trade with Houston was vetoed by Arenado, and Mozeliak had to start all over again. And as we know, it's not like Mozeliak had an open field that gave him the freedom to talk to 29 other teams about Arenado. That no trade provision and his short list of preferred destinations left the Cardinals with just a few options. And you can't force the other side to make trades. The best possibility, Boston, as we know, went off the board as soon as Bregman signed. If the Cardinals had a chance to move Arenado by digesting half of the remaining contract money on his deal and they refused to do it, well, first of all, I need confirmation that that actually happened. I talked about it, but I always said if they have a chance to trade him and if they think it's a good deal and Arenado wants to go, they should eat a lot of the money just to be done with this. If it gets to that stage, I'm not sure it ever got to that stage, and I never said it got to that stage. And anyway, even if that did happen, where they had a chance to move Arenado to, say, the Yankees, but the Yankees wanted the Cardinals to pick up half the tab or whatever, that's more about Bill DeWitt and ownership than John Mozeliak. You know, just remember who he works for. And I said this in yesterday's video. If Mozeliak, as was reported in New York, was offered a deal by the Yankees, but only if the Cardinals would take fading starting pitcher Marcus Stroman, well, I'm glad Mo refused to pay ransom in what would have been an idiotic trade. And, oh, by the way, Marcus Stroman didn't show up at training camp when he was supposed to. He's pouting about something. But some people, Cardinals fans, not all, I think it's a minority, they really think that this would have been a wonderful thing to have Stroman here. He's fading. He's on the downside. He's one of these guys, doesn't seem to always be happy. And oh yeah, by the way, like I said yesterday, he would also be blocking the path of a young starting pitcher. Other than that, geez, what a great idea. Arenado, we said Mozeliak's not the bad guy here. Arenado certainly isn't the bad guy. Because again, after the 2024 season, the Cardinals approached him about the idea of being traded. Would it make sense? Is this something you would want? You tell us what you think. If you want us to work on something or try to gauge interest, we will. They approached Arenado. Arenado did not approach the Cardinals. The Cardinals initiated all of this. He didn't demand a trade. He didn't say, I want out of here. He didn't have his agent calling Mozeliak, pressuring him all the time, said, my guy wants out. You got to do something. Never got to that part, never even close. But as he prepares for his age 34 season, Arenado knows he's going to have limited chances to win a World Series, and he's hungry to do that. So as we know, Arenado advised Mozeliak, okay, you know, you can gauge the market, see what's out there, and then we can talk about it. Mo did just that. The interest level, as I mentioned, was not significant. It was pretty lukewarm, if that. And a lot of that had to do with the no trade clause, because again, the number of teams in the pool that could acquire him would be very, very small because of the no trade provision. He could have gone to Houston. He said, no, that's his contractual right. I don't hold it against him. I wonder if he regrets it, but if he does regret it, he's not going to tell anybody and he's going to get to work because he has a lot to prove in 2024. And he wants to be as great as he can be in 2025. And he wants to be as great as he possibly can be in 2025. There's a lot on the line for him, including shutting everyone up about his offensive decline. And number two, if he would still like to get to a contender, well, the best way for him to get to a contender is start to put up big numbers offensively. And they see a happy, thriving, energetic player who looks like he's got his confidence back. That's how you get a trade to a contender, if that's what you want. Not that you're demanding it, but if that's what you want, if the situation makes it possible. So Arenado is going to be an excellent citizen in Camp Jupiter and during the regular season with the Cardinals. Listen, I don't hold it against him that he wants to maybe go to a contender if that's feasible. He's enjoyed a career that's had a lot of awards, a lot of accolades. He's had 1,680 regular season games. But Arenado has competed in his career. Think about it. He's got 12 years in the books. He's competed in only 8 postseason games, and his teams have lost 7 of the 8. The lone victory came in 2018. So, yeah, who can blame a guy? If the situation presents itself and the Cardinals can make a deal and he likes the terms of the deal, maybe he'd get a shot, another crack or two at postseason success. Why not? But the fact that he would want to do that shouldn't be taken as a slap at St. Louis. It's an obvious acknowledgement that the Cardinal team he wanted to come to is not that team anymore. This Cardinal team ranked 22nd among the 30 teams in winning percentage over the last 2 seasons. So the circumstances have changed. Arenado's not trying to cut and run. Again, the Cardinals came to him, and they brought up the subject of a trade. As the great Derek Gould noted on social media, Arenado specifically sought a trade to the Cardinals. That's number one. He had a chance to opt out of his contract following his 2021 season, where he finished 3rd in the MVP vote. He said, nope, I'm staying here. So that's number two. He chose the Cardinals. Arenado could have opted out after finishing. I had my years wrong, and I apologize. He had a chance to opt out after the 2021 season, but chose to stay here. So that's number two. Number three was he could have opted out after he finished 3rd in the MVP vote in 2022, but nope. For the 3rd time, he wanted to be a Cardinal. He stayed here. And he vetoed the Astros trade in December, probably because he thought other teams that he had in mind for a trade would come knocking on the door, but they didn't. But still, technically speaking, he had a chance to flee, but he didn't flee. He preferred to stay in St. Louis rather than go to Houston. So as Gould put it, Arenado has chosen to be a Cardinal 4 different times. So anybody, and I don't think anybody is really doing this, anybody that matters, but anybody's trying to portray him as a guy that doesn't want to be here, hates being the hates the Cardinals, blah, blah. No. I just think that's totally false because he's had chances to go. So maybe there will be a moment of awkwardness, but I don't think that's going to last. Well, it won't last because it's nothing. This isn't an issue. It's not a problem. Everyone's motivated. Everyone in that clubhouse is on this right page. Everybody wants to do well. Everybody wants to shut up big mouths like me who think they're going to have a bad season or whatever. But once Mozeliak said the thing about it'll be awkward for a moment, people in the media and elsewhere started parroting that and exaggerating what he said and what he meant. I go back, honestly, to Bill DeWitt Jr. discussing Arenado when he got a question from the audience during the winter warm-up. And the things that he said stood out to me because I believe them, because Bill DeWitt has repeated this, not when it became fashionable to repeat this. And this was after he rejected the Houston trade, Arenado. And the Cardinals had nothing else really going on at that time. DeWitt said, in order, number one, the Cardinals, yeah, we prefer to go with younger players now. Number two, he said, Arenado would prefer to be with a team, at least on paper, that's got a really good chance of being a World Series champion in the near future. Number three, DeWitt said, Arenado likes it here, and he wasn't begging to leave. And number four, DeWitt said, Arenado is a Hall of Fame-type player. The Cardinals were happy to have him. And they'll still be happy to have him if he stays. And he added, and then Nolan Arenado has noticed he'd be fine. He'd be happy to return to the Cardinals if nothing works out. So, you know, I don't even know what to say. That's accurate. And this whole idea of awkwardness, just say no to the narrative. There's nothing awkward about the way this has gone down. There are no hard feelings. There's only a bunch of men in spring training that are getting ready for the regular season because they want to really surprise people and they want to give their fans a good product and a good season. Like most spring training narratives, this awkward thing is going to vanish. It's going to go bye-bye. So I hope it does soon because there's really no trouble here. And you never know how things are going to work out. It's going to be an interesting season. I've got a story to tell, which I will, but not now because I've gone on long enough. So I appreciate you all. I may be back here in a bit. Can't promise that. See, there are no guarantees. But anyway, I appreciate you all for watching this and sticking with me here on the Bernie Miklas Show. Thank you very, very much.